strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Ring. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
I'm going to make a definitive statement off the top of this edition of Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. We are Paul Calvisi here, Paulie Pencilneck, Ron Wolfley over there, and I'm going to make a statement. If you disagree, Wolf, that's fine.
Please don't, Paul.
It's a free country, but, you know, it's your right to be wrong if you disagree with the following.
I don't want to disagree right off the top, Paulie.
If you want to play in February, then you better kill it in March. If you want to play in early February in the Super Bowl, then you better have a plan in March, as tick-tock, we near the legal tampering and the opening of the free agency window. And once again, Wolf, if you dismiss that somehow, some way, all I need to do is cite last year's Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Why is that, Bully? Because they went out and actually signed what? I think it was
four
free agents that actually started on their defense, right? Not that they did it all last year, of course, but four free agent signings for their defense, and then three trades they actually worked out.
Yep.
They had seven starters on the defensive side of the ball, Paulie, that they constructed via trade or free agency, of course, in the offseason. This is it. The league year looms, does it not, Paulie?
Do you know, by the way, this is a reminder, because I did mention this earlier, but this really needs to resonate within you, Ron Wolfley, that when the Kansas City Chiefs voted their team MVP, the players did not vote Patrick Mahomes. They actually voted Tyrann Mathieu.
Yes.
As the team MVP.
Yes.
Think about that. Think about the cred he must carry in that locker room. Think of the addition of the Badger, not just what you can show on the stat page, and all, but everything he provided off the field, in the locker room, and how critical that must have been in their Super Bowl run.
I think everyone knows that, Paulie. I think everyone probably inside that locker room for the Kansas City Chiefs knows, hey, listen, Patrick Mahomes, no doubt about it, league MVP, as good as it gets to play quarterback in the National Football League in the year 2020 of our Lord, right? Absolutely. Everybody knows that, but deep down inside, it was the improvement on the defensive side of the ball, in particular in the second half of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs, that I think won them the championship, won them a Super Bowl, and I think everyone in that locker room probably recognizes that, Paul.
Do you expect the Cardinals to make a big splash?
Big
splash in free agency?
I do not.
You do not?
No, I do not.
Jadeveon Clowney isn't walking through that door.
No, I don't think Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think so, Paulie. I don't think, you know, they're going to make a big splash. I think we'll see them go out and address some needs. And I think you got to sit around, right? You've got to sit around right now, the suits, so to speak, in the front office, and I use that metaphorically. But they're sitting around the big rectangle, and they're coming up with a strategy. If they haven't already, they're coming up with a strategy for the league year. It's looming. It's going to begin. And when you talk about team building, you start with free agency. Literally start with free agency, and then you move into the draft. We all know the draft is how you build winners, but free agency is where it begins.
Outside linebacker, inside linebacker, safety, defensive line, receiver maybe, offensive tackle. There are a half dozen areas at least that could be on the radar in free agency.
No doubt.
And you're right. It'll probably be the second and third wave that has been more the norm, the MO of Steve Keim. We'll see. We do know the wide receiver draft is absolutely loaded. It could break the all-time mark of receivers drafted. And we've got just the guy, a former Cardinal. Frank Sanders is next on the Big Red Rage.
Plummer looks. Plummer throws the ball. It is caught on an acrobatic catch by Sanders at the 40-yard line in front of Darryl Green.
Great effort by Frank Sanders.
Plummer looks. Plummer throws to the far side. Sanders makes the catch.
Frank Sanders, I'll tell you what, he's everything. He's made all the big plays.
Plummer back to throw again. He's going to wind up. He's going to go deep. Far side of the field. Sanders makes the catch and scores.
Plummer, a five-step drop. And he lobs one to the left corner. Plummer rolling right, going to fire to the right, caught by Sanders, touchdown Cardinals! It's a four-yard touchdown, and the Cardinals in command!
A young Dave Pasch on the call there, how about that? It is a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. The year was 1998, and the man who led the NFC in receptions is our special guest here on the Big Red Rage. 89 grabs for over 1,100 yards, 13 yards per catch. Frank Sanders, I have one question off the top. I'm trying to recollect. Was that or was that not a contract year for you in 1998 when you led the NFC in receptions?
That's true.
Nice.
I didn't even know it like that. That's absolutely correct.
So, Frankie, when you hear those highlights, right, do you remember the plays? I mean, do you remember the plays, right? When it's just you and the pillow and you're sitting there on a Friday night and it's 2:30 in the morning or maybe a Saturday morning, 2:30 in the morning, and you're watching the shadows creep across your – you don't think of the plays, Frankie, the scoring touchdowns? Do you think about them?
Every now and then I do. The calls that just was made then, I mean, when you're playing, you're just in the moment. But then you never really get a chance to go back and really watch the game when it's actually being taped and someone's actually announced. I've always missed that moment.
See, I remember every wedge I busted, Frank.
You're better than me.
I'm saying that a little facetiously.
Well, you know what? As long as we're getting into arcane stats here for a moment, did you ever throw a career pass? I've never asked you this.
No, I did not, Paulie.
Frank Sanders said,
I could have, though. I will tell you that right now. On a rope.
No. By the way, I'm going to shut this down right now because Wolf likes to get into how he was an All-State catcher once upon a time.
On a rope, Paul.
Okay. And Frank,
not once, not twice. No, three times, Paul.
Frank was drafted by the Mariners, by the way, in the 14th round. So he could play himself some baseball.
Frankie, really?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
What did you play?
Outfield. Played left field and center field at Auburn, which was kind of unique. I drafted by the Cubs in high school. Only played 4 years of high school baseball. And funny thing about it was they went to go see some kids that was playing at Carroll City. And my high school team was there. And I just happened to have a great day. But Carroll City had, like, great athletes. And they were, like, 21-2 in high school. We were 2-19.
Oh,
and it just happened.
Goodness,
right. Me and a buddy of mine just happened to have great games against probably six of the top players in the state. And the Cubs ended up coming out and giving me a workout, got drafted by them, and mom told me, she said, hey, son, if they want you now, they'll want you later. Don't sign with the Cubs. So I went to Auburn, and Coach Dye told me he was going to give me a chance to go out for baseball as well. But Coach Dye was gone my junior year, and Terry Bowden was there. And I said, hey, Coach T, you know, Coach Dye gave me a chance. He said, if I do well in football, I can go out and play baseball. He said, sure. And I went out and played, and we went to the College World Series and ended up getting drafted by the Mariners.
I've got to tell you, buddy, I knew none of that. That is
you
got to
Google me, bro.
That's exactly right.
Google me. Bring him up to speed, man.
Paulie, what are you doing?
You know what else he remembers? He remembers this room here at the Dignity Health Arizona Cardinals Training Center because this is the room where you got paid.
Absolutely. Players came and got their checks right here, brother.
That's right. I remember it as well, Paulie, right there through that window.
Mondays are like the best days, man, in the NFL. No lie. 17 weeks and can't beat a Monday.
Wolf won't remember his car keys or his sunglasses after this show's over, but he remembers this room because that's where he got the check where there was a signature and the line that was dotted.
Speaking of checks, Frankie, of course, free agency. We all know that free agency is a big part of team building now in the National Football League, right? It always has been ever since its inception. Yes, I was one of the guys, Frankie, out there holding the sign, we're on strike in 1987 for that. I'm just saying, Paul.
Thank you so very much for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Free agency, where do you think it falls when you start talking about team building? How important is it to a franchise?
You know, some teams are just one or two pieces away from being amazing. And if you bring the right person in that can, you know, fill some gaps or leadership-wise or just by their presence, we can see what happened with T-Mac going over to KC. Kansas yep. City and well, Terran, and to see how what he brought to the table, just mm-hmm. his conversation. How about T. Suggs going over there just for like 5 games?
Yep.
And you see. So I think yep. one or two pieces can make a difference. And if we can find a couple of pieces that will add to what we need to bring to the table, I think we got a good team and a good nucleus right now that could take us over the hump.
The question is, how attractive are the Cardinals? Do players see what you see, the potential here? And that was the question on ESPN Live. Here's former Patriot Rob Ninkovich.
Last year, the things that they were able to do, especially in the quarterback position as a rookie, I was very surprised the way that he was able to be mature and the production that Murray had on that football field last year. I was very surprised, and I think that if you're a free agent and you're looking to go somewhere, that is, they're going on the rise, right? They're going to take off here in the next couple of years. That's a place where I would want to go. You look defensively, they got Chandler Jones, a great pass rusher, one of the best in the NFL right now. So if you're another pass rusher, maybe you want to team up with a guy like that. Offensively, they got a quarterback that's up and coming. But, yeah, I think that they're a team that definitely could be a spot for a free agent.
Once upon a time, Frank Sanders, you went to Baltimore as a free agent. How do you think an NFL player sizes up the Cardinals here in 2020?
I think they're excited, honestly. Looking at where the number one, think about the conference we're playing in. You're playing some of the top-tier talent mm-hmm. right now in the NFC West right now. You can't argue between what San Francisco's put together. Seattle is always on the table. So these are you know you're getting high-end competition. The NFC right now is extremely strong, although KC actually pulled it out last year, Kansas City did. But when you look at Arizona with Larry Fitz, you got Pat P, Chandler Jones, you can start naming names of guys that just matters to a program. And these are guys that you know will show up every week in and week out. And I think if you look at yourself and say, man, I just need to be around that, I think that's exciting. Another thing I'll add to it is that you go back and look at Denver before they got Peyton Manning. Just mm-hmm. night and day. You look at San Francisco before they got Jimmy G.
Yep.
Night and day. Mm-hmm. It just these are names you can say that. And then you look at the Cardinals and you say, man, they got a young stud that can sling it, make it happen. I mean, they scored 27 points, and they just unfortunately just gave up 28 last year. So that was the unfortunate part about it. But I think you look at the team and say we're going in the right direction.
So, Frankie, hypothetically, would you rather the Cardinals went out and signed one big name player that is really, really good, right? A guy that could come in and maybe make a huge impact, or go out and sign 3 or 4 starters, solid starters in free agency? Which approach do you favor? I realize it's hypothetical and it's a little vague, but which approach do you favor?
No, it matters. I think there's the locker room is expectation. So I don't think there's no hypothetical in that. You bring a guy in that can create some form of expectation that you're going to show up every week, he could make the other guys be that much better.
So you're talking about going the route of one.
I'm okay with that if that guy brings that kind of energy and that salt, and he brings that flavor where he can get the other guys to expect better. And I think that's the part that sometimes misses. The money's on the sideline. The money that people talk about is never talked about in the locker room. So if you go out and get a guy that can – pull the best of someone else and make them better, I think that in itself makes the team that much better. And all he has to do is just do your job. And if he just does his job, then me on the other side is just that much better. Then we're all winning. And I think that's a part where there are no superstars. There's not 21 superstars on offense and defense, or 11 when you look at them all together. There's probably 4 superstars mm-hmm. and everyone else doing their job at a high level.
Do your job.
Is there one position that's better suited to a free agent versus the draft? If you look at the Cardinals' half dozen needs, wide receiver, offensive tackle, D-line, edge rusher, inside linebacker, safety, is one of those a better free agent signee, you think, than perhaps going after the draft?
I think where we are right now, we got a couple pieces with it that need some solid blocks in. Not potential blocks, but solid blocks in. And I think our D-line, we need a solid block. I definitely think in our backfield, we need a solid block. Maybe even at the linebacker position, we need a solid block right now. We're solid at our receivers. I like what they are. They're young, they're explosive, and I'm pretty sure we'll get to that on the other side. But we got some pieces where if you go out and get a good guy that can bring in some extra energy, they can make the difference.
Daniel Jeremiah says he has 27 receivers with a top 3 round grade. It's a historic draft for wide receivers. We're going to name names next on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert, with former Cardinal Frank Sanders.
play action pass. Murray setting up, throws a deep ball right side. Got a receiver, Kirk, touchdown. Murray pumps right, back to pass, fires deep. Far sideline, receivers there. It's caught at the 30, at the 20, at the 10, the 5, touchdown. Christian Kirk again. 69-yard touchdown pass by Kyler Murray.
Great read, a great throw, and a 4-4-1 from Christian Kirk.
Throws over the middle. Kirk caught it. Touchdown. The third touchdown today for Christian Kirk.
The ball looked like it was tipped.
It was by White.
Christian Kirk with great concentration.
Man, how good is Christian Kirk?
Wow.
By the way, that was all one game. That was at Tampa. That's when Christian Kirk had 6 grabs for a 138, 3 touchdowns, and went 15, 33, and 69 yards, Christian Kirk. And then, quite honestly, the rest of the season, things changed. He got a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. He got a lot of attention from defensive coordinators. Yet another reason the Cardinals could really use that outside guy to keep a secondary honest. We say welcome back into the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Paul Calvese here, Ron Wolfe there, and former Cardinals receiver, former second-round pick Frank Sanders is on board. And what do you think? You know, Christian Kirk was hampered by injury. At the end of the season, he admitted, you know what? He came back maybe sooner than he should have. He also dealt with some of that. But what do you think the upside is still? He's going into year 3, still a young guy. What do you see in Christian Kirk?
I mean, I see the sky's the limit. I think he has an Odell quality. I really do. His hand's probably not as big as Odell's, but I think just like this, his quality of being able to be a punt returner, elusive, he's explosive when he gets the ball in his hand. He runs great routes. I mean, he gets in and out of cuts without a problem. And everything that you just said, like last year, when he started becoming that dude, that's what you want. They're gonna actually start paying attention to you and start rolling to your side, and then mm-hmm. it's gonna take you away, which is respectful. That's the respect you want in the game. There's only a couple things you want about the NFL. I'll tell anyone that I say you love more than anything is one, when you get to the NFL, it's nice that you're playing against your idols. Number two, it's even nicer when your idols know you. And when they start knowing Christian Kirk by name and saying they call him Christian, you start saying, man, you need to watch out for that dude right there. Watch out for 13. He nasty.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. Yeah. That's
well said.
Yeah, it was kind of like Hank Bauer. No, I don't want to. Don't get me started. No. Don't get me started on that, Frankie. All right. No. But the wide receiver position when you played, juxtapose that with a wide receiver position today in the National Football League. What do you see?
You know, when it comes to these guys, every record right now could be broken. Just because they're just the quarterback is slinging the ball 40 to 50 times a game. Mm-hmm. And it's not even just the money. It's just the mentality of the system that we have right now, which is to create touchdowns and to make the game a little bit more entertaining than it is back in the days. I mean, you watch any game right now, if you try to watch Tennessee Titans and say, let's get 12 teams in the NFL to play like the Tennessee Titans, it'd be the lowest rating game. You won't watch it. It'd be Derrick Henry for 200 yards and everyone would be pissed.
But I would love that, Frankie.
Me too, but I just
you guys are the exception.
Yeah, well, that's the truth, right? Yeah. Fantasy football and the nature of the game right now is just it doesn't allow it. But the sky's the limit for these guys and what they can bring to the table.
Corners can't put your hands on you guys either anymore.
No, I know, right?
I mean, that's a huge difference, right?
It's not just that. It's just everyone, the spacing gaps are so much wider now. You got 4 and 5 guys. I got 7 and 8 yards between us before. I mean, and now I can just do so many things. Guys got option routes. You got 4 and 5 guys going out with option routes. Mm-hmm. I can run a dig and turn the dig into a post. I can run a curl route and turn a curl route into an out route. It's just, it's backyard football. And I think that's the best thing. You got guys just running around throwing their hands up because if the quarterback got time, it's just the best thing. Mm-hmm. The sky's the limit for where these guys are right now in the NFL in regards to being a receiver.
So you hear the Cardinals need a receiver. Specifically, they need an X.
I'm ready.
An outside receiver. So, Frank, I hope you're ready for an opinion on what's in this year's draft. Because we hear about the big three, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs. What do you make of that? Because, look, if the Cardinals are going receiver at 8, they're going to have their pick. Most mock drafts say there's not going to be a single receiver off the board until the Cardinals go at 8, and if not there, maybe at 12. So if you were in that war room, which direction would you go?
I mean, there's so many guys in college right now, and some of the talent is pretty spectacular, especially what LSU has. And you look at what Alabama guys are bringing to the table. CeeDee Lamb is a special talent. He looks like Larry Fitz, just not as big as Larry Fitz. His hand-eye coordination, his ability to adjust his body to the ball is pretty spectacular. When you look at what Alabama receivers does, they're amazing route runners.
Right.
That's a blessing to see because Alabama, that wasn't what they were known for a long time ago. But to see what these guys bring to the table, They're more straight line guys, though. And CeeDee Lamb is something that he brings a little bit more like Larry. Larry went from outside being a deep threat and a slant guy to I'm in the slot and I can make it happen. And I think CeeDee Lamb does that. He would be my top pick, but one of the other main reasons why is because he has relationships with Kyle and he has relationships with Cliff.
How important is that, Frankie, right there?
That's highly important, and I think that's
Why do you say that,
though? Well, just because it, you know, the NFL in itself is tough. It's tough. It's tough to adjust to. The speed is extremely fast. There are things happening, and guys are adjusting the entire game. Coaches are adjusting and making adjustments the entire game to find ways to stop you. So in college, you got a guy on the outside who's running a go route. You got three other guys that's running go routes too. So the quarterback can just make a pick. But the NFL cornerbacks are extremely skilled athletes. They're not. They are technicians at what they do. And when they get beat, for a receiver, it's a big deal because these guys are really, really good at what they do. But when you bring him in, him and Kyler can have eye contact that they had since a while back, and things they can talk about, and a friendship that you don't have to worry about trying to develop as your egos don't have to be on the table. I know you, homie. I know you. So now that changes the narrative, and sometimes you know what a guy thinks, and I think that's something where you can trust. And he could trust, probably what CeeDee brings. Of course, whoever we bring in, I'm definitely open to because you have a great mentor in Larry.
Well, and they brought in three rookie receivers a year ago via the draft. We know that. And Andy Isabella, Akeem Butler, and Keyshawn Johnson. So Cliff Kingsbury has asked, is receiver really an option this year?
When you look at the players that are out there, if you find one that you think is a game changer, that's where you got to go because there's going to be a ton of really talented ones that we feel like could have immediate impacts and come in and give us some real juice on the outside. And definitely covering all our bases, and we'll see how that plays out.
So the great Roy Green, Jetstream Green, and by the way, you guys shared a number. Think of the guys who have worn 81 in Cardinals history.
Incredible.
Ron Wolfley, Anquan Boldin, Jackie Smith, right?
Anquan.
Frank Sanders here. So not surprisingly, Roy Green, Mr. 4-2-something, he was of the opinion Henry Ruggs should be the guy because he has something you can't teach and that you could be able to develop a guy like Henry Ruggs and the other receiver skills, but he's going to be able to take the top off the defense. Your thoughts on that?
You know, any guy that's fast, I always going to think speed kills and speed's the best thing. So
I can't
hate on that, but I will say a comment I heard from Michael Irvin one time. Michael Irvin said, you don't have any 4-3 guys in the Hall of Fame either.
Interesting.
And Michael Irvin pointed that out, and I didn't know that either. I thought that was the craziest statement. That's something to look
I'm
up.
I'm racking my brain. I can't think of.
He said you have no 4-3 guys.
Do you
in the
know
Hall
who
of Fame.
Neil Lomax was?
Quarterback.
Neil Lomax, right? Mm-hmm. Neil Lomax said all that speed will just get you in the wrong place quicker. Okay, that's what he used to say. Okay, he needs a receiver. That's what Neil used to say. Now Roy Jetstream Green was the king of both. He could run all day long, and he could run good routes. But that's what Neil Lomax was talking about. You just don't need a fast guy. You need a guy who can play wide receiver.
Yeah, I tell any guy when I coach and I train, I tell him, I say, hey man, if you can't catch the ball, you might as well go run track. It's no sense to me trying to call yourself a receiver. You're dropping balls, and you're running through these live rounds. These are grenades out here ready to blow you up. If you don't catch the ball, you're just a track guy in a heavier uniform. So you probably want to go put on some tights and become a track guy.
So if this draft is so loaded in receiver, and it is, how comfortable would you be waiting until round two to take that receiver as a former second-round pick yourself?
I do like what we have in our receiving core. Mm. But more importantly, I like what we have in our offensive system that allows 4 and 5 receivers to be open to and the quarterback have an open mind of who he want to throw to. So I'm okay with that. But if we get a chance to get a guy who could replace Larry, then I would be even more excited about that, too.
Yes or no? CeeDee Lamb reminds you of DeAndre Hopkins.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, Frankie does.
His body control is amazing. He makes every catch. I haven't seen anybody more spectacular than DeAndre Hopkins in a long time. Just as a receiver and what he's able to do week in and week out, the kid is pretty spectacular. Yeah.
It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. We continue with Frank Sanders, and we hit his alma mater, Auburn, next.
Derrick Brown's a wrecker inside, and he's a big man who understands he's a big man and makes plays like a big man. He's not like those basketball centers who want to go play guard. He wants to play inside and beat people up, and he does it well, and he does it with quickness as well as with physicality.
Derek's a guy that I went and saw play against LSU live, and no doubt he can be a dominating presence on the inside. The really neat thing about him is a lot of times you see these top 20 picks are guys who come out early, and for him to be a senior and to be mature and all the different things he brings to the table as a leader and as a confident young man, those are the things that sort of excite you about him. And he can rush the passer, he can two-gap, he can get upfield, he can do all the different things you ask defensive linemen to do. To me, he can fit in multiple schemes.
What do Derrick Brown and Frank Sanders have in common that go beyond just their alma mater of Auburn? Both were first-team All-Americans. How about that? By the way, Wolf, the last segment you asked our guest, Frank Sanders, former Cardinals receiver, former Auburn great, about how the receiver position has changed. You realize he broke the single-season record for receptions, the all-time single-season record for receptions at Auburn. I think it was 93, 94. With 58 catches, you set the all-time single-season mark. You'd be like the fourth leading receiver right now in college football on a single team with 58 catches in a year.
I know, right?
That's how it's changed.
How about this? I'm going up for now. First team All-American, right? But I'm blessed to go to for the Biletnikoff Award.
Yeah.
Bobby Engram.
Okay.
And Jack Jackson from Florida.
Okay.
Bobby Engram had 90 plus catches, and I think Jack Jackson had 89 catches.
Okay.
I mean, the only thing that mattered, balanced out between all of us, was that I had probably 17 yards average a catch, and they probably had like 13 yards average a catch. But I'm in there for it, and I'm laughing because.
Yeah.
How many guys you know? Like I'm in there with 58 catches, but it's just the catches I made at the time were pretty spectacular.
Well, as Quinn Harris told us last week on the Big Red Rage, Cardinals director of player personnel, it always comes back to the film. The stats say one thing, but the eye says something else. And here was his comment. And no matter what the numbers are, you got to see it on film.
You watch a guy all year. You're like, you expect him, say the cornerback position. This guy plays fast. He does this. He does that. He looks like a 4-3 guy. He shows up and runs a 4-6.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? So from that perspective, then you start to second guess yourself. But at the end of the day, does he play fast? And what did the tape say?
Now, Wolf, you're a big fan of Derrick Brown, are you not?
No doubt about it, Paulie.
Okay. What about you, Frank? You watch your alma mater still, right?
I do. I do. I watch him as much as I get when it comes to SEC football here on the west side of the planet. But I do all the time. Derrick Brown is pretty spectacular, man. He's one of those. You remember the Rocker brothers back in the days when at Auburn they had Tracy Rocker?
Yeah.
And they were D-line.
Yeah,
they were just – they were better athletically than Derrick.
Hmm.
But Derrick created as much noise as them on the inside position. And it's just something special what he brings to the table. His technique is sound. He's not something pretty. He's not going to show up with all these bulging biceps. He's not going to show up with these abs that you can see. He probably won't rack out 75.
But you still put him on a three technique. Look out,
but he's
baby.
Disruptive, is what you're saying.
And that's what you need. If that's what you want in your defensive lineman, your interior guys to do certain things to free up your linebackers, then that's the guy you want in front.
And here's the thing about it, too. This is a special dude as well. This is a character guy, if ever there was. A special dude, and he's never going to quit. You watch his motor. He's got a great motor, from what I'm told, right? And a great work ethic as well. I think all that matters.
It does matter, everything. I tell you, funny thing, at Auburn, all they teach you is hustle. If you get there, something good will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he knows is hustle. Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Well, and that's my biggest fear with any D lineman. What's his motor like? What's the motor? I mean, honestly, because we've seen a lot of really talented guys over the years. If they don't have the motor and they don't have the drive and they're not bringing it on every snap, then so whether it's him, whether it's Javon Kinlaw, whether maybe miraculously Isaiah Simmons falls to the Cardinals.
It's
maybe,
just not going to happen.
Like, he's over here, he's praying that happened.
Right, exactly.
You know, maybe it's an offensive lineman. They're loaded atop with some really talented tackles. Either way, here's Quentin Harris's take on that.
No matter who goes ahead of us, there are going to be quality players. So it's like you're in a candy store, and it's like, do I want the Snickers or do I want the Milky Way? They're both going to be delicious. I'm excited because typically you're at the eighth spot. You know, all those top guys are kind of off the board, but not this year because there's so many quality players that there's going to be a top guy that's going to follow us.
What kind of candy is Isaiah Simmons? Is he? if he were a candy, what kind of candy would he be?
I would call him a whatchamacallit. Those are delicious.
That was well played.
What is this guy? He's a whatchamacallit. He does everything.
How about that? He got blindsided by Ron Wolfley, and Quentin Harris recovered with a heck of an answer right
there. That was probably one of the best answers you're ever going to get right there, especially out of the talent that you know that you don't know what to call him, but you know he's pretty special.
So there's a lot of scouts that say that Isaiah Simmons, it actually works against him because here's a guy that doesn't have a position. He could play so many positions. Do you buy that?
I don't.
Exactly.
I don't buy
that. That doesn't
either.
Scare you.
No, it doesn't because I've been saying this for a minute now. Players are pawns and we're chess pieces on a board based upon the coach. And if the coach has the creativity to make sure that his pawns look like bishops, then he'd be okay. And I think when you're looking at a guy like Isaiah, then I think he brings him to the table where he could be anywhere. He could be a queen where he slides all across the board. Mm. And that's something special to have. You just got to get out of the box because right now, with the way the NFL is being played, you can't stay in the box. They got too much competition. And at the talent level right now, to even say in the draft right now, you can almost get to the 15th spot and still be okay with what you bring home. And not be trying to trade up to get to the first and second pick and still be like that. I think it says a lot for what college football is and how it's exploded, how much talent is on the table.
So I could bring in 100 mock drafts right now, and about two-thirds of them would have the Arizona Cardinals taking a tackle at number 8.
Are you for real?
We think that the national guys are a year behind in terms of the perception of the Cardinals' O-line. If the Cardinals went tackle, even though they just re-signed DJ Humphreys, what would you think of that move?
I would be shocked considering that the level of talent that's on the outside. And again, I think when you look at the way free agency always happens, there's always this sneaky offensive lineman. Offensive linemen, they're loyal to a fault. But I think if we go out and say the right things, knowing that we got Kyler and we got some talent here, offensive linemen is a jump ship. And I think you can always pick up an offensive lineman somewhere and bring him in and add him into the piece.
So when you process game tape, and game tape and compare that to what a guy does at the combine, how much do you weight it? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it important what he does at the combine to you after you watch the game tape? Is it important?
It's important because I think it depends on who he's there with. Because you always say, you're from the SEC, you're from the PAC, you're from the Big Ten, you're weak. We always argue at each other. We banter because we think you didn't play in a good conference. But what's important is when I'm there, are you still that dude at the combine? And I think that's the psychological edge you can look at and see if this guy's still performing. Why are you running 4.3s at your university but running 4.6 at the combine? Something's wrong here. There's a problem here. There's a disconnect. And I think sometimes the talent, when you start looking at a guy, you're looking at him eye to eye. I remember one time I looked at Chris Sanders and Tippy Toe from Ohio State was extremely fast. But when he came to us, it was something different.
You know, your former quarterback, Jake Plummer, says you've already played with the future of football in him because of his arm and his legs. We'll talk to about Kyler Murray next on the Big Red Rage.
About the first month, we were all learning together how to operate, what we could be as an offense, and it took some time. And Kyler just grew and grew. Games slowed down for him tremendously. He was playing at a very high level late in the year.
Caught, touchdown, Dan Arnold. Let's go!
Knowing what I know now, you know, I didn't know it coming into this season. I'm just excited to get back, really hungrier and better than ever, ready to lead this team to the playoffs.
We know he has the skill set. If you watch Cardinals Flight Plan, Season 3, Episode 1, The Evolution of Kyler Murray, you begin to realize he has the mindset as well, including his quote in December, "I don't play to be mediocre." And you see, Wolf, and you saw it.
Yeah.
You saw in a lot of the all-access raw practice footage that, guess what? He doesn't just want to play. He wants to win.
Paulie, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but anytime you've got a rookie quarterback who turns to some of his veteran teammates and says, "We don't practice right. We got to practice better." You know what I mean? That right there to me, that is the seedling of a leader that is going to grow, hopefully, and blossom.
Frank Sanders is our guest, former Cardinals receiver and round 2 selection who played with Jake Plummer once upon a time. In fact, you had some pretty robust numbers. Jake's first year when he was a rookie, you had 75 grabs, more than 1,000 yards, 13.6 yards a carry. Then in 98, his second year, you went off, led the NFC in receptions. What do you think is in store for Kyler Murray in year 2 of his career?
Oh, the sky's the limit with him. I mean, just the system, the way they allow him to be himself. He's not asked to do anything opposite of being Kyler Murray. And just his skill set is pretty amazing. One of the number one things I love about him is that he looks like a crow trying to swallow a frog after a loss. He just can't stomach it.
Let me break
it.
That down. So after a loss, he looks like a crow trying to swallow a frog.
It's so distasteful, and it just stains
indigestion.
Him to the, right. You just like he doesn't even want to talk. He can't stomach a loss, and I love that. The kid's been a winner everywhere he's been, and the reality of that is that he had to learn how to accept the loss. But more importantly, he had to learn why we were losing. And I think that's the growing spurt of how much more and how much better he can be, even at the rookie of the year season.
So how much better do you think he can be, Frankie?
I mean, he's going to rival anything that we saw Mahomes do last year.
Wow.
I mean, he could be a 40 to 50 touchdown guy without a problem. Just with the ability, what he brings to the table if we get the pieces around him.
Well, think of this level of player he was by the end of the year. Think of how he defied most typical rookie quarterback seasons. Think of, for example, a Kyle Allen last year, started a dozen games for Carolina, had 23 turnovers. Think about a Daniel Jones who fumbled it 16 times, just the ball security alone, and then what he was able to process. In fact, that was one of the moments, real big takeaways on flight plan. Just listen to some of the reaction from his teammates and the decision makers.
I think where he's grown the most is with his teammates. You know, he was kind of a bit of a loner when he got here, you know, to stay to himself. And as he started to get more comfortable, you know, he started, you know, sitting down to eat lunch and breakfast with guys and, you know, opening dialogue with guys in the locker room and start to develop those real relationships.
It's funny just seeing him kind of open up. I think with Kyler, he was always going to do what he was supposed to do. He's always going to do his thing. He was always going to be that guy. I think with him, it was just about him opening up to us.
Let's go. I need you. Let's go. I need you. Go.
You got to think about it in a different way. It's like he spends 1 year here, spends 1 year there. He hadn't gotten used to fully giving himself to his guys yet. So to be able to be a part of that process and watch him open up and see how close he got with the guys and how much better of a communicator he became with us, you know?
Once he started getting comfortable being here in a new environment around new people, guys started to see what he's about and who he really is, and that's exciting moving forward. He's a competitive young man. He wants to be the best, and I think as that comfort level grows, you're going to see exactly what type of person and player he is.
Cliff Kingsbury, DJ Humphries, Larry Fitzgerald, Cardinals flight plan. So Frank Sanders, what's his biggest challenge? What do you think for Kyler Murray going into year two? Because you know defenses are going to adjust. The division has now seen him twice. He played all 16 games. What's his biggest challenge?
Not to be Kyler Murray of last year. I mean, he was a rookie last year, mm-hmm. and he was just doing his job. And I think that statement was to watch him open up and not just do your job, but do more than what's being asked of you. Be the leader. Be a community relations guy. Figure out how to be more than just a quarterback throwing the football. And I think not trying to be the rookie of the year last year is not even a hard task, because now you're looking at what's next. Can I be an MVP mm-hmm. candidate next year? Can I take my team to the playoffs and we win and we get into the playoffs? That guy requires not being last year's Kyler Murray.
So, Frankie, early in the season, you saw this offense go from being a 4 and 5 wide, here comes the air raid concept, right, to actually morphing into using tight ends to a point where I believe it was week 16, Pauly, where they actually use four tight ends.
Yeah.
You saw the evolution of the offense. Do you believe it's done evolving?
No, not at all. And the reason why it hasn't is because Cliff hasn't. And if Coach Kingsbury thinks he has, then I
dude knows what he's doing.
Then, yeah, he has to realize that, you know, this is a different level. This ain't checkers. This is chess. And every week, every coach that you're playing against, the coach that you're going against, has a game plan to beat you. It's not just your players, but my goal is to stifle you and to beat you. And everything I'm doing right now with my players is to stifle you, Cliff Kingsbury. And I think what we saw him do was make the adjustments to that. And you got to realize that not every week is going to be a 4-receiver week. Some week is going to be a 3-receiver week, and it might be just a 2-tight-end week, and it might be – you might have to evolve at that level and realize that your ego is to the side, man. It's about wins. And when you get wins, you get the respect. And when you get the respect, That's Frankie, really where you want
to
be.
Might have to go old school and bring a fullback in.
No, yeah, some point why in not? Time.
Expand the football universe.
It's there on the table.
We don't have enough time for me to elaborate on why not.
Don't contract it, Paulie.
All I know
is the final month of the season. If you ask Cliff Kingsbury or Kyler Murray about the first month of the season, they would wince. That same feeling of indigestion and distaste when they thought of the game film they put out there in September, going to Baltimore three times inside the five and you settle for three field goals. That wasn't the same Cardinals offense or approach or philosophy by the final month of the season. So now if you eliminate that rookie learning curve for both the quarterback and the head coach play caller, you know what? You really do take the ceiling off this offense going into year two. We'll wrap up this edition of Frank Sanders' Big Red Rage presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert next.
And here it is. To try to win it, put the Cardinals in the playoffs. The snap, it's on the way. It's got the leg. It is good! The Cardinals win! The Cardinals are in the playoffs! The Cardinals win! 52 yards by Jackie.
Aikman looking. Aikman winds up, throws the ball deep near the middle of the field. It is intercepted. Back to the 35. To the 30 goes Tommy Bennett. On the 20. On the 15. On the 10. On the 5. He's knocked down on the Cowboy 2. And you can turn out the lights in Dallas. This one's over. Bring on the Vikings.
This is your life, Frank Sanders, here on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Specifically, that's the stretch run, the playoff run, 1998, and the playoff win in Dallas, where the Arizona the cardiac Cardinals that year had to win the final three games, and then you won your first playoff game in what was nearly a half century to get that W. When you hear that, do you still get a little tingle in the spine?
I do. It's actually one of my most proudest moments as an Arizona Cardinal. Not my stats statistically on anything I've ever done. The NFC receiver, third down, leading, all that stuff. None of that ever. That's one of my most proudest moments as an Arizona Cardinal. Just everything leading up to it, the season and what it took to make happen, the uniqueness of the guys that was in the locker room and in our film room, trying to figure out what we can become and how to get to that next level. The best moment ever was two things. One, not before we left, but when we came back from Dallas, and to see the fans that was out there on, you know, waving and excited
That's
about
so
us.
Cool,
that was another great moment for me. But the best moment was when we went to the playoffs, and we came into the locker room that early morning, and Mr. B came in, and I think it might have been him and Mike, and a couple of the family members was there. I think Bill Jr. was there as well, and Dad wanted to address the team and tell us thank you, but he couldn't because he was crying.
Wow.
He had tears, man. That was one of the best moments I had as I was on the Cardinals seat because he was just so happy. It had been 50 years since that had ever happened in a long time. And, you know, the story goes he was just a kid back then, you know, and it's just that week and that what it took for us to get there was special. But to see how it made Mr. B feel, that was that was a great moment.
I just covered that playoff win in Dallas. I vividly remember walking in with the media and seeing Mr. B with the game ball in his hands and that beaming smile. Yeah. As a man who didn't smile in public a lot, the beaming smile on Mr. B's face. And you're right, on the flight home, 500 fans said goodbye, you know, said wave the Cardinals off. And when you returned, there were 5,000-plus fans all over Sky Harbor waiting for Redbird 1 to land.
It's a great moment for Cardinals fans who had suffered a lot and seen a lot. We tried to put a lot of teams together. I'm pretty sure the Cardinals did. Ron, you was part of those teams here and watching playing out in the desert and in Sun, you know, Sun Devil and the growth of the organization as well. But to finally put it together and get a win and finally get to the playoffs and get that monkey off our back with Dallas and that kind of stuff, that just was I made a lot. That probably built and developed more Cardinal fans.
Yep.
Which creates this bird game sensation right now. The Red Sea Rising is definitely probably off the back of that. Now having our own stadium as well, but that was a really proud moment for me as a player with the Arizona Cardinals.
That's so cool. It really is, right? I mean, I just to have you here and the insight that you offered us today. I mean, it's big stuff, Frank. What are you doing, by the way?
You know,
are you walking around? Do you want to get into broadcasting?
His hat says golf. His hat says G O L F.
What are you doing,
Hello.
Frankie?
How is the golf game these days, by the way?
You know, it's getting pretty good, man. I've been
Really?
Trying to live up to the legacy that Kwame had. Kwame was definitely like a plus two. And he was the guy I was chasing for a long time, man. And
love you, Kwame.
Yeah, I know, right? Just a great dude. But the golf game's good. Still, I probably do maybe, and I'm blessed to do probably maybe 35 charities a year, golf charities. So I do my best to support while I'm here in the Valley.
Well, if we go back to 2002, you were a guest of Kwame Lassiter, the late, great Kwame Lassiter, on here, the Big Red Rage. Think of that. Think of how it's been around for 20 years.
I tell you what, man, it's pretty crazy. But we're growing. You guys are growing. Where we used to get our checks right now is the studio.
That's right.
It's pretty amazing how far the Cardinals
thanks
have come.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you, brother. Enjoying us. Thanks for having me.
Special thanks, Jim Alejandro, Mitch Beraldis, Ron Wolfe, and Paul Calvisi, and Frank Sanders, the Big Red Rage.
Frankie.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.